Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry it from our cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
That's Steve Voss with Come and Take It. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live, Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean as we continue our series of conversations about interstate transport of firearms, which means packing up your little friend and taking it with you, going, say, from New Hampshire to wherever, either by train, plane, or automobile. Yeah.
It applies to buses.
It does? Okay.
Mass transit, right?
There you go. Yep. Wow.
And so I always tell people that we should know, you know, you need to know a lot of different things.
Yes, and that's what we've been trying to do. You know, we talked about packing it in your car and you know, places to avoid, you know, states like New York, New Jersey, Maryland, places like that.
The finest last bastions of freedom.
Yeah, Maryland is known as the free state, but I'm a little disillusioned by that, so I don't know. I can talk from firsthand experience.
Yeah, they're free from many good rights.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. There you go. You figured it out. It took how many years, and you nailed it. That's good. Good for you. Thanks.
You know, and the whole purpose of what I think your show is, I always say that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for life. And what I'm hoping is that your listeners, that we're able to teach them how to fish. What I want to do is teach them how to go online and find the specific laws. Because I tell people, what gets people in a lot of trouble is two things. A lot of well-meaning people will create a website. But one of two things, they don't update it, or they don't have adequate legal knowledge to explain things. And that's why, for example, when people want to ask me certain legal questions, I go, look, I'm not going to do it by email. I'm not going to do it by whatever. There's a lot of inflections and a lot of things that come out in a conversation with people. So I said, what I want to do is actually have a conversation, because then you can tell by people's tone of their voice and the way they're using language if they're truly understanding what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I go to this where we're having listeners, and I want to tell them that the very, very, very best source to hopefully keep you out of the Crossbar Hotel, okay, when you're doing anything pertaining to firearms, is go read the law. And I can see everybody rolling their eyes going, it's boring and I don't understand it. And the answer is it's not boring. It's really cool. But law.
I was just going to say that. It actually is.
Well, it's boring or it's cool.
And you don't need to be a geek to understand. I mean, yes, you need some training perhaps, but it's a good starting point.
It absolutely is. And the thing is, there isn't anything wrong with then seeking explanations or annotations or looking in a book. But starting with the law and reading the language of what it says is really good. And I tell people that law is like any language, be it a scientific language, a Latin language for botany, or anything like that, that the more you do it, the more you become familiar with the language. And you'll really get better at it, and you'll learn to love it just like I do. And more importantly, with today's electronic age, for example, the code, what's called the United States Code, is available online free of charge at government websites. And more importantly, what really works as law is what's called the CFRs, which are the Code of Federal Regulations.
This is important for people to understand.
It absolutely is. The Code of Federal Regulations are these regulations that are, in my mind, and I say they're enacted by unelected bureaucrats, because I particularly find some of the Code of Federal Regulations offensive. But they're basically enacted by unelected bureaucrats, but they really have the force of law. And that's what's important for people to know, that it basically is a roadmap as to how these things are going to be enforced. And I tell people, you have a couple things at play here when you have interstate transportation of firearms. You have the law, we have the regulations, but you also have that these airlines are private entities with certain rights about how to conduct their business. And so what I tell people all the time is, look, the law says, essentially, you can do this, this, and this by essentially saying these things aren't illegal. Because the law doesn't affirmatively give you permission all the time. It tells you things that aren't against the law. Now, the CFRs are a little different than the regular law. When you look at the law, the criminal code, it has a list of things that are prohibited. You can't do these things except for. The CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, has a lot of areas that gives affirmative permission. You can do this, you can do this, you can do that, which is kind of opposite of how law is sometimes written. But here's what's important about the Code of Federal Regulations, is that people think, okay, the Code of Federal Regulations say I can do this, this, and this. But you also have to look to the private airlines. Let's just pick on Southwest because it's the one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Southwest still has a right to say, yes, it's legal for you to do this, this, and this, but we still hate pink, so you can't wear pink blouses on our airlines. And they, as a private business, have a right to say that. Now, obviously, they can't discriminate based on race or, you know, certain other categories that federal law prohibits discrimination on.
Well, even fat people are having a hard time. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I tell people that you certainly can. Now, it wouldn't be a smart business model to, let's say no pink blouses on airlines, okay? But they absolutely have the right to do that. And so, you know, I tell people that you really need to check all this out and then go to the website. Let's say you're going to fly on Southwest, okay? Go to Southwest's website, go to the section about firearms, and I personally print those sections out in duplicate and take them with me when I travel. Let's say I'm going to be flying Southwest.
Ah, just in case you have to educate the clerk at the check-in counter, huh?
That's exactly right.
Ah!
That's exactly right, because you have clerks at the check-in counter who you don't sometimes get. You'll sometimes get someone who isn't familiar with all this, and I always tell them, take your drawer on the left, open it up, reach in the far back, and there's your little orange sheet you got to give me. And once you tell them that, they're like, oh, she's done this before, she knows. and things become a little easier. And basically, we start with, if you're going to take ammo with you. For example, I take my own ammo with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, federal law says that it has to be securely packaged in fiber, wood, or metal boxes, or other packaging specifically designed to carry small amounts of ammunition. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I reload, or as my uncle calls it, custom-crafted ammunition.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anybody who reloads knows you buy these great boxes from Midway and MTM, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're little plastic boxes that hold 50 rounds, or 20 rounds for some of the rifle ones, okay? Now, I have had some airline personnel who said, oh, they read the law and they really know it. Because it doesn't say plastic in there, they don't read the part that says, or other packaging specifically designed to carry small amounts of ammunition, which is exactly what the cases from Midway are and from MTM are. And so rather than get in some of the fights sometimes, I leave them in regular ammo boxes, you know, that they come in from the factory.
Sure.
And if I'm carrying reloaded ammo with them, I bring this part of the statute with me or highlight it. But some airlines have made it a part of their policy to say fiber, wood, or metal boxes, and they don't add the or other package specifically designed to carry small amounts of ammunition.
Hmm.
And they have the right to do that because they're a private entity. They can't let you break federal law, but they can restrict anything they want because they're a private entity and they have the right, you know, again, within parameters.
Not all airlines even allow you to check in your firearms.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, with that being said, because I only have about 2 minutes left here, time flies when you're having fun. But yeah, when you're checking in, you have to tell them, of course, that you are carrying a firearm. Or maybe you're not supposed to have it on you, but, you know, packaged properly.
You absolutely have to tell them. And here's where people sometimes, because they're nervous, maybe it's their first time, so they go up to the front desk and they say, I got a gun. Because they want to specifically get it out. And I tell them, no. This is the time where finesse rules. You know? Because then the airline person says, oh, my God, he's got a gun. You know, and then all pandemonium breaks loose. And so, you know, what I tell them is, you know, the verbiage that you really should use is I need to declare an unloaded firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always ask them what they want me to do. Because you have some people who've never held a firearm in their life who are nervous about their job anyhow. So I say to them, you know, I personally have one of those little plugs, or these plastic plugs. They cost $3 each, and they've got a long little tab on the end. So I put it through the chamber so you can see that there's nothing in the chamber. And I've had people to tell you how unfamiliar they are with firearms. Is that unloaded? Yeah, it's got this little plastic plug in. It has to be unloaded, you know. It couldn't possibly have a round in there. But then I show them, and, you know, some of them I say, do you want me to handle the firearm? I literally ask them, do you want me to handle the firearm and demonstrate to you it's unloaded? And some get this big look in their eyes, no, it's okay. Because I guess they think the mere fact of this black blob of metal sitting there might get them.
Uh-huh.
And others are like, oh, yeah, I can see, you know, the wiser ones will say, oh, I can see it's unloaded. It's got a plug in it. Like, yeah, they're getting it here.
Good.
Yeah, you know, but others will literally say, yes, you need to show me this. Are those unloaded, too, meaning the magazines? And I'll show them, yep, look, and I'll show them in the top how there's nothing in there. Because some of them don't even know the basics about firearms and magazines. They say, are the mags unloaded? And I'm thinking, of course they are. You can see there's no round in the top, right?
Yeah.
You know, but you really have to educate them. And I tell people, this is an opportunity to do what I call PR, shaking hands and kissing babies, to make them our friend, to make them know that, you know, we're really nice people. And I don't feel the need to explain, because some of them say, are you law enforcement? And the only answers they get out of me are no's and yes. I do not explain or expand. I'll say no. So you're not a police officer? No. Because that's the truth. I'm not.
Right.
You know, but I don't go into an explanation of why I'm carrying it. Because it's not any of their business.
Right. That's not pertinent to whether you're complying with the law or airline policies about how it's packaged and the like. So
absolutely.
All right. With that, Penny, we got to go. How do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
PennyDean.org.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Penny. Good chatting with you. We'll do it again next Tuesday.